Have you ever walked away from a conversation, you know, where somebody said something, or maybe a time of intense fellowship, and you say, "Oh, I wish I would have said that." Has that ever happened to you? You know, "Oh, if I only would have said that, I would have really got him, or I really would have had this conversation, kneeled down. You know, that's what I should have said." And of course, it's too late, you know, and so you think, "Well, maybe next time." And all that. And I think, you know, Jesus always seemed to be, in his conversations, always in control. You know, always in control. Every time he was talking to people, he was always right, always in control. Never wavered, never, you know, probably had a second thought on what he said. Not out of sorts, always right, except once, except one time. And we're going to talk about that for a moment today. We're starting a whole new series that we're calling Words That Heal My Soul. And we want to begin to prepare ourselves and our hearts and our lives just to be able to fully experience what I would say the Easter season or the Easter time, to be able to fully grasp and feel what all that happened back then that was so important for this thing called faith. And we really want to, as the Bible does, narrow down kind of our hearts and our lives to what happened on the cross. Because that is really the cornerstone of our faith. That makes our faith our faith. And Jesus made some statements on the cross. Sometimes they're called the seven last words on the cross, or the seven last words of Jesus. And they are meaningful, and they were thoughtful, and they are healing to us and to our lives. And they help actually involve us into what was going on at that point in time. Now, Jesus said this, and they help us. And they are words not just to help us endure a line at the post office, or they're not on how to win friends and influence people. But this morning, we're going to look at a words that he said, not on the cross, but right before the cross. And these are words that will give us strength and give you strength in life. Life when you have circumstances that come up that are a little hard to control, or times sometimes when you and I are like wavering about what to do. Now again, Jesus always seemed to be in control of the situation, always seemed to have confidence except one time. And I'm going to read this part of the Bible. Okay, and this will become very familiar to many of you, but for some of you, it may be for the very first time. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says, Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Grief and anguish came over him, and he said to them, "The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went a little farther on and threw himself face downward on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he returned to the three disciples and found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "How is it that you three were not able to keep watch with me for even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray. You will not fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, Jesus went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cup of suffering cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." He returned once more and found the disciples asleep. They couldn't keep their eyes open. Again, Jesus left them, went away, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then he returned to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be handed over to the power of sinners. Get up, let's go. Look, here is the man who is betraying me." And it was kind of, as I was looking at this passage this week, it was kind of tough to read emotionally. And there's something that he says several times in this setting. And he talks about the cup. Jesus talks about a cup. He will talk about, God, get this cup away from me. He says he went a little further, threw himself on the ground, and said, my Father, if it's possible, take this cup of suffering from me. What is this cup deal? And cup is kind of like a metaphor for all this he's going to be going through for the next 12 hours. In the next 12 hours, and here we go, he will be betrayed, arrested, beaten, mocked. He'll have 5 or 6 trials. He will be beaten again, another couple of trials. A crown of thorns will be jammed on his head. He'll be whipped. He'll be beaten again. He'll carry a crossbeam up to a hill. He'll be stripped naked, have nails driven through his wrists and feet, hung on a cross, basically have his lungs fill up with fluid so he can't breathe, and have the weight of your sin upon him, and have his Father turn his back on him. Oh, and he'll die. That's the cup. And he's in the garden, and he knows this is coming. He knows it's going to happen. No wonder Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And no wonder it says, his sweat became as drops of blood trickling down upon the ground. I mean, if that were the cup that were going to be handed to me, I'd say no, no, no. Everything in me would say no. And that's why he said, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Now, what's amazing to me, and if you read through it, I really recommend you do, and if you don't have a Bible, we give away Bibles. Just go back to the little half-round desk, and we'll give you one there. Read the story. A couple minutes later, it's like pretty amazing. Everything changes. Absolutely everything changes. Here you have Jesus, like, sweating drops of blood, you know, and he's just saying, I don't want to go through this and all that. But everything totally changes. Now, the circumstances don't change. He's still going to be going through all this kind of stuff. The circumstances are still going to go haywire. But his demeanor changes. Everything changes. It's like, wait a second. What happened? You know, it's like a switch got turned over. Soldiers come, and Jesus, he's got this whole band of soldiers coming. And who takes charge of the situation? Jesus does. He says, no, you know, you let these others go. You take me instead, you know. And so they say, okay, we'll take you and let the others go. Peter pulls out a sword, and Jesus says, no, the only blood that's going to be shed is mine, you know. Put that stuff away. And at the trial, Jesus is calm, and he ends up interrogating his accusers. And he faces the most powerful man in the land and has this guy freaking out. And he comforts the people, and he forgives people who are killing him. I mean, how did this happen, you know? How in the world does a guy who's sweating drops of blood 1 minute go from now being in charge of the whole situation? Because there are some words of strength that he says here. And it becomes really, I think, really important for us to grasp on to the heart and attitude and words that he shared that can be our words to help us to grasp more strength in life. How can I get this kind of confidence in life? Because I know I'd like that. And here are his words of strength. Here they are. May your will be done. That's it. May your will be done. And I think those are really, really powerful words. Not just to say, but really to mean and to want and to be willing to live his will out. And I think the source of our strength and the source of our, I don't know, life and confidence are in these words. May your will be done through me right now in my place. And in a sense, you could say, and here would be the first thing I want to say, is you and I, we were made for surrendering. We were created to surrender. Now, I don't like that. I don't even like to say it. You know, I was made to surrender. But it's really true. You and I have limits. Believe it or not, we do. Okay? We have limits. The older I get, the more I see them. And there are certain things that you and I, we can't do. For instance, I'm going to be going to the hardware store today because I have some stuff at home that I want to do. And guess what? I will come to the conclusion, like I always do, there are some things I can't fix. I can't do it, you know, I can't do it. And so the average time I go back to the hardware store for one project is 4 times, okay? I go back 4 times because I bought the wrong part or I broke the right part and I have to keep going back on this one. There are certain things I can't do and I have to admit it. I have to just say, I can't do that. And God has built into this system from the very beginning, you know, a need that we have for him. Remember one of the first things he said is it's not good for the man to be what? Alone, okay, alone. He needs somebody else. We're limited, you know. God has seen to that. We are limited and we have limits. You and I do. We're limited by space and we're limited by time and we're limited by our personalities and our physical attributes, you know. We're limited by our age limits. Age limits us and habits or personality or medical conditions. I mean, we are a limited people. Now, why did God do that? You know, why did God do that? Because we were meant to have to surrender to someone who's stronger than we are. Surrender is built within you. Surrendering to God, and that's how you work best. Now the second thing I want to say is, surrender is hard. You know, it's hard. It's like, well, I was made to surrender. It's hard for me. It just doesn't work with either my personality or our personality. I once tried snowboarding. You know, I once tried snowboarding. I thought, well, I'm an okay skier, well, marginal skier. Snowboarding should not be a problem. And my kids we're going to learn this together. And I've been on the snow a lot, and my kids never have, and so we took lessons together. And for some reason, my kids were like superstars because they're really little, and they can do everything. And for me, it's like I got up on the lift, came down. I did not snowboard down. I cartwheeled down, you know, cartwheeled down. You know, and Lisa and my daughter was young at the time. She was in the lodge, and you have a great view of the slope here. And she kept wondering, who is that guy that goes 10 feet and falls, and 10 feet and falls? And I finally had to do what? I had to finally surrender. And do you know how hard it is to take off your board and walk down the slope? I hate that. And surrendering of the will is worse. In his book, You're Only Human, Kelly Capick talks about the limits we have. We're all limited by space and time and energy, if you're old. And in the Bible, we quickly meet a tempter who seems to appear out of nowhere. And he asks a question. And it's pretty disturbing to Adam and Eve. He asks them, did God really say that about the tree? Did God really say that? And then he said, God knows that when you eat, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like who? You'll be like God. No limits. No limits. So we can try and pretend like we have, like, no limits. And in a sense, you know, he was saying to them, you know, you should be more than God's letting you be. And they rejected God's love to gain power so that we can say, my will be done. My will be done. And in a sense, the whole story, and I don't want to get too philosophical here, but the whole story of my life in sin or my life in screwing up is a battle between me saying to God, my will versus your will. My will versus your will. I mean, that's it. My will or your will is going to be done. And it just rings really true for that. And then what happens is, not wanting to surrender, I now create a false self. A self that wants to be in charge of all my life. All my life. But I wasn't designed that way. I was designed to surrender. But surrender is really, really fearful. And it's really, really hard. And when I say to God, your will be done, do you understand how I'm giving up control of my life? Mm-hmm. I'm having to say, I'm no longer in control. And now I will do life completely according to what you want. It's handing myself over to God and to his purpose. If you read the account, and if you go back through in the New Testament, again, read the story, it's a great story. Every decision Jesus makes from here on out, and every move he makes from here on out, is really simple. It's really simple. It's already been made. The decision has already been made to follow God. And that's what's true when you surrender your life to God. Every decision's already been made. Somebody really drives you nuts, bugs you. How do you respond to them? The decision's already been made. You love them, and you pray for them. It's already been made. Somebody hurts you, just really devastates you. What do you do? Well, the decision's already been made. You forgive them. Why? Because you've already surrendered and said, not my will be done, but your will be done. You know, you live that out, whether it's cheating on your taxes, whether it's pocketing extra money, whether whatever it is, the decision's already been made because you've already said, thy will be done. I make the decision to do God's will, and that's what I'm going to do. Do I forgive? Do I not forgive? Decision's been made. Do I love or not love? Decision's already been made. That's why the Bible says this. I love it. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. That makes me happy. And it's already been made. It's where the strength comes from. Now, I believe that you make those decisions because if you're in the midst of temptation, it's not an easy time to surrender at that point in time. The surrender happens in times of strength, like now. Like now. The decision to follow God happens now. And here's where the strength comes from. I can only surrender if I believe God is safe enough to surrender to him. If God's not safe enough to surrender to him, I'm not going to do it. I will not do it. I will take control of my own life. John Townsend said this, if we second guess God's goodness, are unsure of his wisdom, or doubt his power, we will not release our past, our present, or our future into his hands. And we're not like, I'm not going to do it. But how good is God? It says, since he did not even spare his own son, gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? And that's why the Bible says, the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. I'm going to ask the worship team. They're going to come on up and sit up behind me right now. I don't know about you. Sometimes I just don't like making decisions. I make decisions all week long here, all kinds of decisions, all kinds of stuff I have to decide upon as a pastor. And sometimes I just get tired of it. I mean, not for you guys. But like sometimes they will say, well, what kind of pizza do you want? And I'll say, I don't know. I don't want to make the decision, you know, because it's one more decision I need to make. But once I've surrendered to God and how I act and how I respond and how I treat people, that's already been made. I already made that decision. I made that decision a long time ago. Now I have to daily kind of renew that, but the decision's already been made that I will love and I will serve and I will forgive and I will care and I will go out of my way for, and I will be peaceful towards, and I will be kind and gentle towards these things. The decision's already been made. God already surrendered to you. So I'll go the extra mile for them and quit trying to change them. And I'll submit to doing it your way, even though I don't understand. Make sense?
Yes.
You see it?
Yes.
And I would like you to pray with me. Would you? Would you? For a second, would you pray with me? Please bow your head, and we're just going to take a couple minutes doing just a brief a brief moment before God. Just slow down for a second. Maybe to kind of help you, I'm going to ask you to just take a deep breath in and out. As you're breathing in and out, the God who gives you that breath, God who gives you the air to breathe, the lungs to take it all in, He's asking you to recognize that He is God. Enjoy that breath. Enjoy the God that gives that breath to you. Right now, be still and know that He is God. Life is hard, and you know it, and right now a dozen things are flooding into your head. Maybe they're causing you anxiousness or fear, sadness or frustration. God is asking you to call Him Father for a time just like this. You do not need to be in control. God is, and God loves you. Isn't that reassuring? Strength comes from surrendering. That's where the secret of strength is. It's saying to God, God, take charge of my life. Take control. Can you place your fears and the solutions and wanting to be in control in His loving hands? Can you do that? Can you say, God, take away the way I want things to turn out, and I trust You that You have it all under loving control? Take it away, God, the stress, the fear, to trust You. God, I want to be childlike in my love for You and my serving You. Right now, Lord, right now, I want more than anything than Your will to be done through me, in me. And I surrender that to You. Make me an instrument of Your peace, Lord. Jesus, and thank You for Your goodness and kindness in Your name.